Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
You know our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for their fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Michelin Cross Climate 2. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, suspension, just to name a few. Go to TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
The Volume.
This is Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre.
What is up, Straight Fire fam? It's me, Jason McIntyre, Straight Fire, for Monday, March 25th. Oh my gosh, this was quite possibly your boy's busiest weekend of the year. And not just because we just moved, but obviously, first round of the NCAA tournament, you know I love that. Deep love for the tournament. I was in the Calcutta. The sweats are very friggin' real for that bad boy. We'll talk about Houston in a minute. But it was just, it was one of those weekends. I'll be brief. I know you guys love the dad life stuff, but my daughter's team went back-to-back with the basketball title, won an ugly 14-9 game. Yeah, I know, 14-9. When they get upgraded to the big court, they put on like a high school court, and they're fifth graders. So it's like they're exhausted after like 10 trips up and down the court, missing a lot of bunnies. And then my son's team, seventh grade, we were trying to go back-to-back, and we were just up against a juggernaut. Guys, I'll say this. Like I've always said, coach your kids. It's like the most fun thing ever. We were heavy underdogs. We have, I think, the best player in the league, but the other team like was just stacked. I won't get, long story short, they had an awesome player who had a broken leg and he was supposed to like not really play at all this season, according to the dad. And then of course he ends up playing like a lot, and now here we go for the postseason tournament, and he's like healthy and pouring in like 20 points. So, you know, a little cheesy, but whatever, who cares? We're not gonna back down. They go up 10 to start the fourth quarter, and I'm like, all right, you know, well, guys, this is it. We got to empty the tank, and our guys storm back, and of course, my kid, who I think it was like his only shot of the game, he might have taken two. He banks in a three to cut the lead to two with like a minute left, and it was incredible. Like, we were in this game. The other team was like kind of pooping bricks, and it was just awesome, and we end up, our star player, who was phenomenal, I put some of the highlights on IG, he had like a 40 footer for the win, but you know, it didn't hit iron and it was over. But it was one of those where you lost, but it felt like a win. Like, one of the parents on my team comes up and goes, Jay, if you could keep it within 10, I'll be impressed. I mean, these guys, we've seen this team, they're stacked. And everybody came up afterward. They were like, dude, that was so fun. And youth sports is fun. But of course, the problem is I'm missing the JMU Duke game as this is happening. And on Saturday, I had to miss, or no, it was Sunday morning, I had to miss the ending of the Marquette, whoever the hell they were playing. Marquette was playing Colorado. And, you know, that's a Calcutta team we have. And I keep asking the scorers, but like at the high school, they try to give you not good Wi-Fi. So the kids aren't on Wi-Fi all day. So there's like, I can't watch the game as I'm coaching. The kids could barely give me updates. Obviously, Marquette came through late, but the youth basketball season is over. My weekends will get a little looser. We still have soccer and, you know, kids do volleyball and stuff, but the tournament is going to be lit. And the reason is because it's basically been chalk madness, not March madness, chalk madness. Folks, Only four times before this year have we seen all the top two seeds advance in every region. I have the dates here for you. It was 2019 was the last time with Zion, right? 2009, then 1995 and 1989. Those were the only four teams that the top two seeds advanced. And now we got it again as Houston wins and survives last night a crazy game against Texas A&M. And I think that was, that game gave me an instant headache. I'm not even kidding. It's, you know, listen, I don't need to give you guys the dollar figures, but we are heavily invested in Houston. We love their odds. We like their chances. We think they're great matchups. I think they match up extremely well with Duke, unless they get a poor whistle, you know, and let Duke shoot 40-some-odd free throws like A&M got. But this Houston team is good. And when you're up by 13 late in the game, and your win probability is 99.9%, and you end up going to overtime. You just, and everybody's fouling out. It was a sweat. So we're pot committed on Houston, Marquette, and Iowa State. I would love, if all three of them win in the Sweet 16, I'm fairly certain we turn a tiny, tiny, tiny profit. Obviously, we need them to go further. I don't really know where to start other than the chalk factor, because I'll say this. The last time the top two seeds advanced was 2019. That was the Zion Williamson Duke team, which everybody loved. Zion was a ratings juggernaut, and I still vividly remember Zion against Sparty, watching it and being just crestfallen that Michigan State pulled it out. And Zion lost by one. I was like, God, this stinks. Now, the 2019 Final Four was good. If you remember, that was the year Virginia beats Auburn in like a controversial, I think there was late free throws by Kyle Guy. And then Virginia beat Texas Tech in an overtime game in the Natty after Texas Tech beat Sparty. It was like a good Final Four, but not a ton of juice. I mean, close games, right? But there weren't like major big-time stars in the tournament. And we missed Zion not having that. Now, here's the thing. I was going to ask Rob, like, okay, we got a great Sweet 16. Lineup looks awesome. I'm fired up. I'm excited. I can't wait for Thursday, Friday. But you look around, guys. This is just real talk. Is there one top 10 draft pick left in the tournament? I'm just talking top 10. I'm not even saying top 5. Like, is there one top 10 pick left? I'll be honest. I don't know the answer to that. But I would lean probably not. I mean, listen, everybody loves Zach Edey, the Purdue monster at 7'4". I cannot see anyone take it up top 10. I just don't. You go down the list, like, UConn's got some dudes. I don't know if they're 7'2 guy is going to be a top 10 pick. Here's the thing about UConn. They're blasting people off the floor in the first, like, I don't know, 5-6 minutes. So I've barely watched them. Their games are unwatchable because they're murdering people. And so they kind of feel like a total train right now, and they're just going to maul everyone. San Diego State could slow it down and feasibly hang around, but how? We just saw this in the national championship, and it was UConn all day. And now the UConn team, you could argue, is like better, and the San Diego State team is a little worse. I don't see how that's competitive. I think Houston-Duke could be a good game. I don't think Filipkowski from Duke is a top 10 pick. I do like Shedd a lot, and boy, he had a big, big, big-time bucket there in overtime. I like his game. Marquette has Kolick, who you know I'm a massive fan of. I don't know, guys. I don't think, Rob, do you think there's a top? Now, I haven't looked at mock drafts, so Rob might hit me with, oh, well, this guy's still hanging around, and I missed him. But even if you looked at the game Saturday, you know, North Carolina's Baycott is like 23 years old, and, you know, RJ Davis is old. Like, Caleb Love, nobody wants to draft him in Arizona. I don't really see it. I like Dalton Connect, and he's probably the best talent left in the tournament, the kid from Tennessee. But we saw him at times struggle against the Texas defenders. And, you know, the SEC has proven to be immense frauds. So I don't think anybody's, like, fearful of Tennessee. And I don't, maybe Connect built up an amazing year in the SEC just clowning folks. I think he's very good, but I don't know if he's top 10. Rob, it's weird. We get a lot of top seeds. We've got a very, very good competitive lineup for Thursday, Friday. But we don't have a lot of juicy players left.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
You put it off long enough, it's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has tires that will elevate your drive. Touring tires for commuter comfort, performance tires for sporty handling, all-terrain tires for on- and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation, the right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from the full line of Vredestein tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you. Or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office and install them on site. Doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/Colin to see their Vredestein test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews, and be sure to check out all their current special offers. Great tires, great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
As a sports fan, I can tell you there's nothing worse than trying to surprise your kids with tickets to opening day only to find out that all the best seats have already been taken and the ones that are available come with the worst view in the house. That's why I use Game Time. Game Time is now an authorized ticket marketplace of Major League Baseball, which makes getting tickets even faster and easier. And if you're worried about that rush hour traffic slowing you down, prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to first pitch. With killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, and their lowest price guarantee, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying MLB tickets. I know it's not technically opening day, but LA's home opener against St. Louis is coming up, and Game Time has a flash sale going on right now where they're offering seats along the first baseline that would save my family over $200. You can't beat that with a baseball bat. With all-in pricing and the lowest price guarantee that will credit you 110% of the difference if you find something cheaper, Game Time is the real MVP for sports fans like me. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code JMAC for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code JMAC for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last-minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
That's something that's kind of plagued college basketball for some time now. I'm looking at one mock draft. I go to one website. It's kind of like an aggregate of several websites just to give you an idea of who might go where. Connect is the only guy that they have in the top 10 right now on this website. And I'm looking here through the mock draft. Connect, I forgot he's a senior. He's been around for a hot second.
Yeah.
So if you're looking at the rest of the top 10 on this aggregate mock site, NBADraft.net, it's freshman, international, freshman, 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 international, freshman, freshman, one senior. So that therein lies the problem with college basketball for right now, at least. All of the best players or the guys who are going to profile as the best NBA players are usually eliminated by now in today's college basketball era. Like the transfer portal, NIL has made it so that the best teams usually are veteran-laden, 23, 24, hell, even 25-year-old players up and down that roster, and that's why they're so money come crunch time in the tournament. I have a soft spot for Zach Edey because of, I think he's just a phenomenal college player. I think he's one of the great college players that we've ever seen, and were he have had more tournament success, I think that'd be more widely accepted. You know, back-to-back, unanimous player of the year, back-to-back unanimous All-American. Like, that doesn't happen in college basketball.
Yeah.
And so I would like to think that maybe he could sneak into the back half of the top 10 because suddenly center and the big man has become in vogue again in the NBA. But to your point, like, it's I don't see the star power, no, in this top 16, Sweet 16, no.
Yeah, it's just not there. Yeah, Purdue and Edie are interesting. They destroyed Grambling, and then they eviscerated Utah State. Listen, you win your first game by 28 and your second by, 39? You're doing something right. Now, here's the thing. Gonzaga's going to be tough. Gonzaga has looked good, but they're not a great team. They already faced off early in the season. I believe it was in the Maui Classic. And, you know, of course, Purdue wins this at a neutral site. Let's see how Edie did. Oh, he had 25 and 9 and 3 blocks. Gonzaga has, yeah, they don't really have the size to hang, but they're, you know, a little better on the wings. I don't really have a play there. KenPom has it Purdue by 4. You guys remember last week we had Clev TA on, and he talked a lot about KenPom. And I know a lot of you guys jumped on KenPom and looked at it and were like, oh, this is interesting, blah, blah, blah. Okay. 16 teams left, all right? Of the 16, 13 of them are in the top 15 in KenPom. It has been the teams that grade out the best, according to the stats, are dominating this tournament, and is not even close. The only teams that choked, Auburn, a ghastly late choke, a game they sorely regret given what happened to Yale against San Diego State. But other than Auburn, like, I don't really think Baylor choked. I had Clemson beating them. And the one number that matters more than anything so far has been defensive efficiency. And the only team, yeah, hold up, let me scroll down. Yeah, the only team outside of the top 80 in defense left is Alabama at 102. And that's after they survived Grand Canyon, who should not have even been there. Oh, my gosh. Grand Canyon with a massive, well, not a massive upset, an upset of St. Mary's. That one hurt me. Survivor. It's my first Survivor did not go well in March Madness. Lessons learned. Let's just say that. But basically, yeah, the teams that play good defense. Look at that. If you, in KenPom, like, I'm a subscriber. But if you look at the adjusted defense, I mean, basically, here's what happens in March. Every possession matters more, right? Offense. These are teams you don't know well. You're in unfamiliar arenas, unfamiliar settings. You're playing at weird times of day. And defense travels. Offense, not so much. And number one in defense is Houston. Number two is Iowa State. Number three is Tennessee. Those teams look really freaking good. We could talk about lines. I don't know, Rob. Like, the Sweet 16 is good because there's only two games Thursday, two games Friday. But do you have any early leans when you look at the way the bracket shakes out and the lines?
Well, quickly, before we get into that, I just want to say that to all of the people on social media who've been tagging me on stuff, I'm sure you've been getting tagged too, but you're too busy to really check your Twitter like that, saying, oh, this is such a boring tournament. These are all the favorites. I hate when it's this chalk. It's supposed to be March Madness for a reason. And let me just say, if you are college basketball, and I might say the NCAA, but CBS and Turner Sports, you have to be loving this result right now. Because, and I hate to harp on this again, but we talked about it last week. Last season, the opening round was the highest rated opening weekend in NCAA tournament history. But as the Cinderella kept advancing, the ratings kept going down and down and down. The Elite Eight down 14%. Final Four down 17%. National title game down 19%. And it was the least watched title game ever. This year, we still haven't got the numbers fully, but the opening round, again, the highest rated opening round again. But this year, to your point, all the big dogs are still left.
Yeah.
All the heavy hitters. We're not going to get an FAU versus, you know, San Diego, I don't think, you know, San Diego State in the Final Four. Like, that's not going to happen, right? Because FBA, you know, so we should be, hopefully, getting the resurgence, at least on the viewership mark, that college basketball is sorely needed. Because the way the sport has evolved, the fact that all of the best NBA prospects are no longer featured late in the tournament like they may have used to have been as recently as 5 or 6 years ago, what you can hope for then, if you're not going to get the NBA guys at that level, that at least you get the best teams. And right now, at least through the Sweet 16, we have all the best teams.
Yeah.
So this is what we should be hoping for as college basketball fans.
Yeah, and if you look at the lines, that it speaks to that. Iowa State favored by 2 over Illinois. Illinois has been a truck the first two rounds. Alabama is a 4-point dog against North Carolina. Arizona 7 over Clemson. That feels a little rich. I got to see where these games are because I think Arizona is in Los Angeles, so they'll have a massive home court advantage there. Gonzaga, Purdue. Purdue's 4.5. I would look at Gonzaga there. Just taking the points. I don't know if they'll win. Tennessee 2.5 over Creighton. That's going to be a great game. I like this Creighton team. I have futures on a lot of these teams left. I have futures on Creighton. I don't think they can win the title. Marquette 6.5 against NC State. Again, we're heavy on Marquette. I like Marquette a lot. Kolek is fun. Cam Jones. I like that matchup for them. NC State's got the bigs, but their guards is not great. And then Houston -4 over Duke. That is interesting. The knock on Duke has been that they're soft. And if you push them around, they will wilt. Tennessee pushed them around last year. UNC pushed them around a couple times this year. And Houston is going to bully. But I'm just telling you, if the refs are going to call it the way they did Houston, Texas A&M, I don't love Houston chances. Now, I believe that game is in Texas. Duke travels well and has grads everywhere. But I think Houston should have a monster home court edge. Let me just check. I haven't seen where all the games are, Rob. Have you seen that yet or no?
I mean, I'm sure if I did enough looking like on ESPN, CBSSports.com, you'll see the way that the brackets are set up. But it's like you have to click through 12 different features and there's always a pop-up. And it seems like it's less user-friendly than it used to be. You know, technology used to be our friend. Now it's just getting me to buy more stuff. So it's a little bit tricky.
Bye. I did not watch. Oh, I did watch a little of the women's tournament. So, obviously, I didn't get into much, but I did have somebody tweet me, and I'm not on Twitter really this weekend that much, but LSU in trouble at halftime, losing to like Middle Tennessee or something. And I was like, what? So I turned it over, and they were down at the half, and I, you know, saw some highlights. I was like, oh, they don't look great. But then, you know, I see the final score, and they win handily. You know, setting up the LSU Caitlin Clark thing. But the only thing on the women's side that had some juice this weekend was the coach of LSU, Kim Mulkey, went on this rant about the Washington Post doing a hit piece against her. Here's the weird thing. The piece isn't even out yet. She's trying to pull like a Donald Trump type deal where you get so much, I'm going to hammer the piece before it even comes out. I'm going to get people against it. I'm going to come after it. And I think she's almost put a light on it before the story's even coming out. I don't. This could backfire on her, but again, I have no clue what the story is. I don't really care that much. I did find this interesting, Rob. She goes, this reporter's been hounding me for 2 years to try to get me to sit down and this and that and this. 2 years, he's been asking me interviews and blah, blah, blah. And then he gave me 48 hours to respond. And I was like, well, that's kind of interesting. He's been asking you for an interview for 2 years. He's been consistently trying to get you with questions. And then he gives you a deadline, and that's a problem? Like, you've had 2 years to sit down with this guy, or not. That's fine. I don't have people beating down my door to interview me, you know, for whatever skeletons I've got in the closet. But I don't know, Rob, did that come off as weird to you? He's been trying to talk to me for 2 years, and then he gave me a deadline, and I just, come on, you're trying to mess with our team now. And I'm like, when do you want him to do the story? July? Like, you want to maximize how many people are going to see it. And it's during the women's basketball tournament. Probably right in front of the Iowa game, right? So I just thought that was kind of awkward. Although, I don't, maybe I'm being weird.
No, I agree with you. I didn't understand her tactic. Like, to your point, the article is not out yet. So to go on the offensive and threatening to sue the Washington Post and the reporter, if this, quote, false story gets published, it's like, well, we don't even know what's in it yet. So yeah. By her doing that, it's almost like back in the day, you remember mixtapes in rap? I don't know. They come out now, but I don't check very much as I used to. But it's like, 50 Cent drop a mixtape, you know, he's taking shots at Jay-Z and things like that. And Jay-Z talks about it at Summer Jam. And you're like, well, I haven't heard the 50 Cent mixtape yet. But if Jay-Z's responding to it, and I really got to hear it. And so for Kim Mulkey to go out there on the offensive, which was something that was only bubbling over on Twitter. Like, I think Pat Forty was the guy who was like, hey, there's some buzz that there's a WAPO out article coming out. Okay. So keep an eye on that. And all she has to do if she gets asked about it is like, I have no comment on that. I'm focused on the tournament. Done deal. Story's dead, at least until that article comes out. But because she goes on this prepared rant for three and a half minutes with a binder in front of her. Then after they beat Middle Tennessee, she's asked about it again. So again, it's a story. So now you're on like day three or day four of this without the article even coming out that people are already talking about it. So I'm very excited to read it. I honestly get the feeling that because of the way this is being built up, whatever is in that article will be disappointed because it's like, I've been hyping it up, and it's only going to let you down. Yeah. But yeah, I don't really understand her tactic on that one.
Yeah, very, very awkward. We could wrap up with an NFL story that popped over the weekend. Again, NFL free agency pretty much done. But I did see L'Jarius Sneed. Remember, the Chiefs were going to tag him? Well, they ended up trading him to the Tennessee Titans. L'Jarius Sneed, who was just a playmaking superstar cornerback, locked up Tyreek Hill, had a great, well, pretty great Super Bowl, I think, right? I think he also had a huge playoff game against the Ravens, was he the one who forced a fumble or was it McDuffie?
No, that was him.
That was Sneed, yeah. So Sneed, listen, Sneed's a very good player. Thing is, he wants top dollar and you got to pay McDuffie soon. You had to pay Chris Jones. They had to make a business decision, and they traded Sneed. But here's what's the interesting thing. All I kept reading was Sneed could fetch a second-round pick in the 2024 draft. And then the Chiefs would set themselves up for three picks in the first two rounds, and they'd be able to replenish the offensive line, get themselves a receiver. They would have options, right? All they could get was a 2025 third and a 2024 seventh. So that jumped out to me as, oh, I guess Sneed isn't seen in the market as valuable as what the media and fans perceive him as. And at the same time, how much of Sneed's success is thanks to Spagnuolo's great defense, which is, so I mean, Spagnuolo's just an awesome defensive coordinator. We know this. And I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens. But then I decided, oh, let me just see what's going on with the Titans. I haven't paid attention to them at all. They got rid of Vrabel. They got a new coach. It's weird. They've spent so much money. It's almost like they're a team that won the lottery. You know, let's say you win like $50 million in the lottery. You're just going to go out and buy shit. You're going to buy a house. You're going to buy a Porsche, a Ferrari, whatever. You're going to buy stuff. You're going to be flexing expensive suit. You just are. That's what you do if you come into $50 million. This is who the Titans got in the offseason. Yeah, you might not be aware of all these guys. They got Tony Pollard, the running back, to replace Derrick Henry. They got Calvin Ridley. I don't know how I missed that. I guess we might have talked about it. But they got Calvin Ridley. So their receiver room is like really good now, right? Ridley, Nuke Hopkins, and Treylon Burks if he can ever stay healthy. So Will Levis, all of a sudden, he's got some guys to throw to. Now his running game is eh. They improved the offensive line with the center. They got Cushenberry. And then on defense, they stole Kenneth Murray from the Chargers. I liked him. The Pro Football Focus grades did not. But anytime I watched a Charger game, he was around the football. And now they add Sneed. So they've added like five, maybe six starters. Okay? It's like, all right, what are they? I don't know what they are. If Will Levis is good, maybe they're a 8-9 win team. If the Jags regress a little bit or don't improve, and if the Texans don't improve, maybe the Titans are good. I don't know. I don't know what to make of Will Levis, Rob. What should we make of him?
I don't know what you can make of Will Levis. Like, Will Levis is the guy who looks like he should be the prototypical NFL quarterback. And then just hasn't performed like an NFL quarterback, really. Like, yeah. He broke onto the scene. Remember that game in October? Again, I think it was the Falcons. Four touchdowns, no pick. I think it was his first start. And it was like, oh, shit. The Titans got themselves a quarterback. Will Levis famously fell in the draft, and everyone's going to regret it the same way they did with Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. And Will Levis is the guy. And then the next two games, zero touchdowns, two picks. Then he pops back up against Jacksonville in a loss. They only scored 14 points, but in that game, he was 13 of 17, two touchdowns, no picks. You're like, all right, Will Levis is back. And then it's, you know, zero touchdowns.
Yeah.
One touchdown, one pick. Finishes out the season. He gets hurt midway through. Two for six for 16 yards against Houston. And so the final numbers don't look bad. Like eight touchdowns, four picks, 58% completion percentage. Until you realize that all of his damage, for the most part, was done in his very first start when no one knew anything about him. Yeah. And a game against Jacksonville where they got their doors blown off. So I don't know what Will Levis is. I know that he has the tools and he has, what is it they call it, the traits that you look for in an NFL quarterback.
Toolsy.
But if he is not at least, you know, a middle of the road type quarterback, if he's not at least Derek Carr level, then this was the dumbest offseason the Titans could have had. Because you're throwing all of this money in the hat under the guise that you have your quarterback locked up on a rookie deal, so you spend all around him. If your quarterback is not good, though, then you're just throwing money away to be mediocre, and you're going to have no cap space, and you're going to be stuck in purgatory 6-7 wins for the foreseeable future.
Well, I guess you could look at it this way. If the Tennessee Titans go 5-12, well, the good news is Will Levis ain't the guy. And the good news is you're probably drafting top five, right? So you get your next quarterback.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
You put it off long enough, it's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has tires that will elevate your drive. Touring tires for commuter comfort. Performance tires for sporty handling. All-terrain tires for on- and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation. The right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from the full line of Continental tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you. Or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office and install them on site. Doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/Colin to see their Continental test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews. And be sure to check out all their current special offers. Great tires, great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. Obviously, I can't give betting advice, but I can sure lean on knowledge, my awesome run this season. If you're not paying attention, you're missing out. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code STRAIGHTFIRE. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code STRAIGHTFIRE. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/b. Ball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
And that next quarterback, whoever he is, whether it's a kid from Georgia, Beck, maybe it's Shedeur Sanders, you know, you got some guys to throw to. And since I brought up Shedeur Sanders, we can wrap up with this. It's weird. Now that the draft is coming up, all of a sudden Deion Sanders is popping off about his son, Shedeur. And he's saying some really questionable stuff. And when I say questionable, I'm looking at it from an NFL team vantage point, and it's like, okay, all signs are pointing to Deion Sanders pulling an Eli, which he's actually said, and sending his son to a certain school as opposed to wanting to go to wherever he's drafted, which is fine. I'm totally into that. But this is next level and wasn't discussed. Rob, What happens if your team drafts Shedeur Sanders and Deion Sanders decides, oh, you know, I do want to coach in the NFL? Whoever that head coach is might as well start to pack his bags. Because as soon as things go awry, you know Deion is going to be angling to coach his son in the NFL. I don't think that's ever been done. I'd have to double check. But if you're telling me it's never been done, this is kind of like LeBron playing with his son in the NBA. That's so cool. You got to watch that. Well, yeah, I would watch Deion and his son on an NFL team. I think that would be fascinating. Deion the coach and his son the quarterback. Don't you think that would be super cool? You're instantly buying a massive TV market, right? Everybody's going to tune in. Your games are going to be must-see. Probably going to fill up the stadium. Whoever drafts Shedeur might as well lock in Deion as their next head coach. And I just wonder, Rob, if you're drafting in the top three and you're the GM and the coach, are you like, hey, guys, we draft Shedeur? We're probably drafting our replacements, too, because ultimately, Deion's going to want to call the shots. He's already on record saying he doesn't want his kid to go to play in a cold city. Like, it's a little crazy the way he's already manipulating this. And Rob, it's a year out. Shedeur could have a bad year and regress and be like, ooh, I don't know. This has happened to a lot of quarterbacks where you have a great year and everybody expects you to go at the top and then, oh, wait a minute, they're regressing a little bit. So I don't know. I don't love how Deion's handling this. It seems like he's putting a lot of undue pressure on his son. And it's not totally different from what's happened with LeBron and Bronny with the whole draft stuff. I'm not trying to make it a negative. I don't know that I would play it that way. Just think about what you're saying about your son. You're already talking about the draft. You're already talking about handpicking the team. He's still got another year at Colorado. I don't know, Rob. What am I missing here?
Well, you also forget that he said that between Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter, that they will both go in the top four of the upcoming NFL draft. He said one of them will go number one, depending on need. The other one will go no lower than four.
No, it's not Travis Hunter. Nobody's taking a receiver.
Right,
first
exactly.
Overall.
Well, he hasn't shown to be an elite receiver or a corner, you know, in college. He's a great collegiate player, but, you know, he's not polished as a route runner. And defensively, he's got great talent, but I mean, we saw what Stanford did to that kid. Like, it was terrible. You know, he needs to focus on one side of the ball to really excel at the next level. But let's just play this game with Shedeur Sanders. So it can't be a cold weather team, and it's got to be a team that's going to be drafting in the top four. So immediately you cross off all of the Eastern Seaboard teams, this except for, the Miami Dolphins, and I don't think they'll be drafting in the top four,
not
right?
They pay Tua.
Okay, you can't go the NFC, Cowboys, Eagles, Giants, Commander. I mean, the Cowboys, I don't think they'll be driving top four, so they're out. NFC North, the Lions play in a dome, but they won't be picking in the top four. Everyone else is cold weather or has a quarterback. The AFC North has their quarterbacks, and it's all very cold weather. AFC South, the Texans got a quarterback. The Jags got their quarterback. The Colts drafted their quarterback. Maybe it's Will Levis's Tennessee Titans. Maybe that's where he's angling to. Because if you look down, the teams that fit this very narrow criteria of terrible but also warm weather, you're left with, I mean, just quickly, the Titans, potentially my Raiders, okay? The Panthers, but they already got their quarterback. And I guess the Cardinals, but they have a quarterback. So where exactly is this sweet spot for Shedeur Sanders, where he's going to avoid cold weather at all costs and also find himself being taken in the top of the draft?
Well, that's the problem. Here's the thing. Okay, let's just, they're not drafting him, but let's say the Rams get him. Stafford decides I'm out, okay? Let's say the Rams get him. The Rams in the playoffs could hypothetically have to go to Chicago, to Green Bay, to Philadelphia. What do you think the weather's like in January? You're going to have to win those games anyway. So, like, I get it. Like, I enjoyed my time in Philadelphia or outside Philly. I like living in New York. It was fine. Then I get the job offer from Fox. I move across the country. I've tasted the warm weather now. I have zero interest in going back. None. Okay? But that's different. I'm not like a quarterback who has to play playoff games at certain places. Like, honestly, my family wants to do a ski trip. Hey, guys, I'll chauffeur you around. Or I'm just not going. You know? Like, that's my vibe on ski trips. And yeah, I miss out. Some dads go on dad ski trips, and you know they know I'm not going to go, so I miss out on those. And then the daddy daughter ski trip, so I miss out on. It kind of stinks, but like I just don't want to go skiing. I don't like cold weather. I'm just I'm softy. I don't know. I do want to go to Iceland, but like in the spring, not when it's like icy, you know, like freezing. I don't want to do that. I don't know, Rob. It strikes me as odd. Like, listen, if you go anywhere in the AFC, your playoff path is definitely going through Kansas City. It probably will go through Buffalo, and it might go through Baltimore. And who knows, maybe there's a Cincinnati Bengals cold. Like, those are all cold weather. So what are you saying now, Dion? I want my son to go to a warm weather team, and I'm just going to say automatically, I want him to go to Tampa or Carolina. Like, do you want him to go to Carolina?
Do you really want him to go to Carolina? Think about that, sir. Do you really want him to go to Carolina?
Just doing too much, Dion. Like, dial it back a notch.
I'll tell you what. There was a video. I know that you were busy over the weekend, but there was a video that was trending on Saturday night. It was peak Colorado Buffaloes football because it was Shedeur Sanders in their dome, whatever, doing their practice. And he hits this beautiful 20-yard out route. And it's like, oh, yeah, you're going to be seeing a lot more of this season. Go Buffs. And every single comment is like who's going to stop this? Every single comment, oh, it's that defender that came flying from the weak side that would have sacked him before he got the pass off. Like, all anyone in Colorado is talking about, look at Shedeur. He's got 3,000 yards and 40 touchdowns and 3 picks. He also got sacked 52 times, and that's why the team sucked. Like, good luck.
I like those who's stopping. I don't like them. I do think there are some funny people out there. Who's stopping this? And it's like reality or, you know, whatever. But yeah, that's... I don't know. Listen, Shedeur, I mean, I don't think, my gut would tell me that if they open it up, the Georgia quarterback probably goes one. He's looked the part, but I'll never forget that. I lost money on the SEC title game. They barely had him throwing the football. It was a weird ass game plan. They lose. But then again, I did like McCarthy a lot more than everyone else. And now McCarthy's like maybe going sixth overall. Who knows? Anyways, it's a lengthy Monday pod. We back tomorrow. Probably have some crystallized picks for the Sweet 16. I saw Connecticut open up at 9.5, and I definitely took that instantly. Connecticut at 9.5 against San Diego State. I do like a money line parlay of Iowa State and Marquette. I think I like Tennessee, but I'm not certain. I think I want to take Gonzaga with the points. All I'll say is this. We saw favorites totally dominate. I think I saw the top two seeds were something like 14-2 against the spread. Ridiculous numbers. We will certainly see some regression as we're going to pay a little price for favorites, such as Arizona playing out here in L.A. I'm curious if Clemson could give them a game. I do think Clemson has the pieces, and I think Arizona a little overhyped after their wins. So I would take a slice of Clemson plus 7. I don't know what to do with Alabama, Carolina, like a fool. I thought Michigan State could hang with Carolina. That was way, way off. But, you know, obviously I'm pot committed to Houston for the Calcutta, and I'm thrilled that Marquette's that big of a line, but I just worry about those beefy boys inside for NC State. Mr. Burns! Oh my gosh, he's a dancing teddy bear, as they say. Anyways, that's it for today. Back tomorrow.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. It's a literal pro, and it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.